The other night I was sitting up and I was watching television and I came across the movie Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan, if you remember, came out about 20 years ago now. It's a war movie. It's a World War II movie. And I'm not typically a war movie fan, but this one really gets to me. And it really struck me as I was working on this sermon. I started thinking about it because, you see, wars are fought for kind of a big overarching reason. If you think back to World War II, there were kind of two reasons why America was in World War II. They were there to stop the Germans and Nazi Germany and what Hitler was doing, and they were there to stop the advances of the Japanese army at that time. They're big purposes, but what happens is within every war, even though there's a big purpose, kind of an overarching purpose, that war is really fought in small battles and specific missions that belong to these teams of soldiers who go out to fight them. And the movie Saving Private Ryan, it starts with D-Day and them going to Normandy Beach, and you have all these companies and even multiple countries coming together to make that happen. But then the movie begins on its specific mission. You've got this team of seven men who are sent out to find Private James Ryan. He's a young man whose three brothers have already died in battle, and they're calling him home. And so they're out trying to find this man and bring him home. And over the course of the movie, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, they're searching for him. And they struggle as they're going because, this specific mission is difficult, it's dangerous, and it doesn't really even at times feel like it's part of the larger scheme of what they're trying to do. The backdrop of the European front in World War II. But they're there, moving along, trying to find this one man and send him home. They know what the need is, they know what they've been told to do, and they respond to that call. And though they struggle with it at times, at the end, they find him and they get him home. I thought this was really meaningful to us because I think for us, sometimes as a church, we really have to focus in, we have to think about it. We are participating in this big battle, this big war, and we always quote the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them all that I've commanded you. We've got this great big mission that we've been given, the Great Commission. But us as a church, Thompson Road Baptist Church, we have a specific role, just like those seven men had the specific mission to go find Private James Ryan. We as Thompson Road Baptist Church have a specific mission and a role that we play in this larger battle that's going on. And what I want us to do is I just want us to think about that and focus on that today as we look at Christ's words and what's going on here in the life of Jesus. I want us to think about what we are doing. We want to participate in this movement of God. We want to participate in seeing lives changed and people saved, the world changed, the kingdom of God advancing. And in order to participate in that, we must have a clear sense of our mission. We must know what it is that we are here to do, and then we must set out to do that. So I just want to walk through this passage, and I want to kind of unpack this as we go. So Alan already read for us the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist goes out. The gospel of Jesus Christ actually starts with John the Baptist. This isn't the only gospel in the Bible that begins with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was important. John the Baptist was sent out for a reason. John the Baptist went out to make people recognize their need. You see, John's ministry existed in and around Jerusalem. It existed alongside Judaism. John was out there at the time when the people had the Old Testament. They had the law and the prophets. They had the temple sacrifices. For all intents and purposes, they had everything they needed to know God. And yet, John's ministry came, and John's ministry had to come. It was predicted, and it came to prepare the way for the Lord because John realized that there was a need for something more. He was called to bring something more. There was a need here that the people didn't quite have the fullness of salvation, the fullness of the revelation of God in what was given to them in the Old Testament. And the people recognized their need. In verse 5 it says, "And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." The people realized they had a need. They knew that it wasn't enough. They knew that these temple sacrifices, their trips to the synagogue, all these special holy feast days that they had, they knew that it wasn't enough. Part of that they knew from experience. There had been 1,200, 1,500 years of Jewish living, and they had seen it come and go. They had seen all the temple sacrifices. They had seen the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They'd seen it all, and they knew they really weren't left any better than when they started. And so there was a need, and they came out, and they were baptized, and they confessed their sins. There was a need. And likewise, we need to recognize the need. When we look around us, we see that people know things are missing. Unbelievers in this world look and they know that they don't have everything quite right. They know that there is a brokenness to this life that they are living. They try and fill it with different things, these God substitutes. We've been there. And we're not different from that. When we've been saved, all we've done is seen Christ, as we're going to talk about today. But we've been there ourselves. We've been there in those times in our lives where we sought God's substitutes to fill some need that we knew we had, but we weren't quite sure what it was. Maybe sometimes we still struggle with that. And we try and fill those needs with, I don't know, material possessions, buying things, experiences, drugs, alcohol, sex. We try and fill this need with whatever we can because it's just raging inside of us. Romans tells us, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. There is a need. There's a need in this community. There's a need around us. We sit in an area where there's such a great need. We want to talk about a specific mission. We want to talk about what is the mission this church is supposed to be on. I'm here to tell you today, we are here because this community needs us. They don't need us. They don't need Todd Burris or Dave Parks. They don't need us in particular, but they need the message we have. Just like we needed that message, and we need that message still today, we needed that to be brought to us. We needed that gospel light to come to us, to shine on our sins, to shine on our darkness, to bring us back to God. And this community needs that. We know that. We've seen that. We've walked these streets. We've talked with the people. We've heard the stories. We've been here 2 months ago when a young man was gunned down in this neighborhood. We opened our doors and saw the people come in here. We saw their hurt and their disillusionment and their confusion about what was going on. We are here for that. We need to realize that. We need to recognize the need that's before us, and we need to be burdened by it. You know, it's one of those things that happens when you think about kind of the big battle. When you think about the Great Commission, and yes, there are lost people, and there is a need for the gospel to go out, and we have this kind of just vague, abstract, general picture of what needs to be done. But it becomes so much more real when we realize we have people within a stone's throw, within walking distance of our building, who need the gospel. And we can go and knock on their door, and we can talk to them, and we can be in their living rooms, and we can invite them here. We can share a meal with them. We can do whatever with them, and we can know them. And we need to have that real burden. It's one thing to be burdened about some hypothetical man out in the wilderness somewhere. It's another thing to be burdened for a family that you drive by their house, that you walk by their house, that you talk with them. It's so much more real, but that's what we need to be doing. That's what we're here, and there's nobody else to do that. There's nobody else to do that. We are here for that reason. That is our mission in this big battle that we are fighting. We must be burdened about it. Right? How can we focus on the ends of the earth? We've been given this commission. Another part of the Great Commission is you know, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. How can we focus on the ends of the earth when we're not taking care of our own Jerusalem? It's a call. It's something that we've got to be doing as a church, as a local church. We want to take pride in being a local church and being Thompson Road Baptist Church. And there's even times when I give people our address. You know, I'll be talking on the phone or doing different things, different church business, and I'll say, we're Thompson Road Baptist Church, and I'll say, we're at 320 Thompson Road, and there's almost, sometimes you can hear this kind of, oh, because so often churches who are whatever road church aren't there anymore. We've got, you know, all these friends who are at Ashland Avenue, And Ashland Avenue dropped Ashland Avenue because they're no longer on Ashland Avenue. And that's no strike against them. They're doing wonderful things. But churches move. But for some reason, God has us here. We're still here, still in the place where we were planted 60, 70 years ago. Because there's still a mission here. There's still a need, a purpose for us to be here. And we've got to realize that, and we've got to step into it. So we recognize the need of our mission. And then what we've got to do is we've got to realize the promise that's been given to us. Starting in verse 12, we get into the specific ministry of Jesus. He gets baptized by John, and then it says, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So having exposed the people's longing for something more, Jesus now comes and addresses what it is. These people are longing for the kingdom of God. This is what we were given in the beginning of creation. When Adam and Eve first came into existence, they came into existence in the garden. They were in God's kingdom. They were under his rule. They walked and talked with him freely. And then sin came, and they were separated from God. They realized their nakedness, and they were expelled from the garden. They went out into the kingdom of the world. They went out into this area where God didn't reign, where they were at the mercy of all of the pain and suffering and struggle that sin causes. And the story of Scripture is returning us to God's kingdom. It's not about a kingdom of man. It's not about King David. It's not about King Solomon. It's not about trying to reach this promised land where a man rules over us. It's about reaching back to this land where God reigns and where we're under his rule and under his protection always. And this is what the people truly desired, and this is the message that Jesus came declaring, the good news, the gospel that he has for them, right, is that the kingdom of God has come, right? It's at hand, and entrance is granted to those who repent and believe. You know, the kingdom of God is here today. Specifically, the place where we see the kingdom of God at work most is in the church. We are God's people living under God's rule. This is the kingdom of God. It's at hand today. And yes, there's this kind of already not yet. The church is here. The kingdom of God is already here. And yet it's not yet here fully, right? There's still this battle being fought. We're waging this war against the powers of Satan, against evil and sin. But we know we've been promised that we will win. The book's already been written. The story's over. Right? The movie is finished producing. We're just in it right now. We're having to fight this fight, be in this battle. And we want to talk about, how do I join the kingdom? How do I get into the kingdom? How do I become reconciled with my Creator? Christ tells us. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, right? Sin is what removed us from God's kingdom in the first place. It's what separated us from him. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were disobedient. He said, you may eat from any tree, but when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Don't do it. And they did it. That was sin, and it separated them from God. It expelled us from the kingdom. And all of us have sinned. Everyone since then has sinned. It's part of who we are. It's part of our nature, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2. That doesn't make it okay. Right? We have this kind of disillusionment where we think, well, if something's natural, it's good. No, it's in our nature to sin. We have a sin nature that doesn't make it all right. But God says, I can change your nature. I can change your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and make you sensitive to the things of God, make you desire me. Because as sinful human beings, we don't. We don't desire God. We know he's there, and we know that something's missing, but we don't desire him enough to turn away from everything. But once we hear the gospel, once that light is given to us, we can repent. We can turn from our sins and turn back to God. And Ezekiel says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Right? That is repentance. Look in your life and see what you're substituting for God. See where you are being disobedient and turn from it. That's what we have to do to be saved, and that's the message that we have to take to others. It's not easy. And sometimes we have to do it in stages because, you know, we have to first say, you know, you got to repent of this and turn to God. And then we have to work with the people to continue turning, right? I know you've experienced this. There's some things that you were able to give up easy. Sins you were able to turn away from easily when you first believed. And there's other things that have hindered you and you've struggled with throughout your life, and you have to continue to work on them, to repent from those things daily and fight that fight. And we've got to be willing to be in there, in the trenches, with the people in our neighborhood to help them expose those sins, expose the things that are there that are separating them from God, and to help them turn their lives around, to become reconciled with their Father. Right? Repentance was core to John's message. Okay? That was what John came. He came declaring a baptism for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Right? Baptism. We have something else we need to talk about that another time. It's not really what we're going to cover today, but the repentance is for the forgiveness of sins, right? But repentance is not enough. Repentance isn't enough, okay? Just turning from the things that you shouldn't be doing is not enough. If it were, salvation could be found in all kinds of social institutions, right? It could be found in just realizing the mistakes you've made. It could be found in things like AA and Narcotics Anonymous, but it can't be found there. Repentance is a first step. But John's ministry wasn't complete. John's ministry just paved the way for Jesus, because what's needed beyond just repentance is faith. It's faith. Jesus' call to believe is a call to see him for who he really is and what he has done. Right? We can never do what is necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. But when we repent and when we believe in Jesus as the Savior, as the one who went and died on the cross for our sins, paid that penalty that we deserved for our disobedience, then we can truly be saved. Then we can be restored. Then things change, right? Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. I've already said that. We're all in agreement on that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption, the buying back that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. That just means put him forward to pay that penalty, to bear the wrath that we deserved. Jesus did that on the cross to be received by faith. To repent and believe is the totality of the message. If you were saved today, you were saved because you repented and you believed. And if anyone is going to be saved today, if our neighbors are going to be saved today, it's going to be because they repent and believe. And how are they going to know that? They're only going to know that if we go out and tell them. We have that. That's nothing that we came up with. It's no great insight of ours. We received it from the Bible. We received it from Christ, who passed it along to his disciples, who wrote it, who transmitted it, who've been carried along faithfully, and we have that today, and that ministry is ongoing, and that battle is ongoing, and the weapons are still the same. Repent and believe. That's the message. That's the promise. Repent and believe, and entrance to the kingdom of God will be granted to you. And that is what we desire. That's where we want to be. That's where our neighbors want to be when we see the brokenness in our world. It exists because we don't live under God's reign. It exists because we're serving some other king that we've put in front of us. But when we know Christ and see him for who he is, and we repent and we believe and we turn to him, all of that can be changed. And so comes the last part, which is to respond to the call. Right? That's what we've got to do. We are here today. We are part of this community, and we've got to respond to the call. Again, there's that big mission, the Great Commission, but to us, if you are here today, if you've walked through these doors, if you've tied yourself with this church, you've got a mission, and that mission is to go out to this community, to see this community change, to be burdened for this community, and you've got to respond to that call. Christ brought a call. It says in 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. Right? The message is out there now. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1:15, Jesus makes that declaration, and now he is going to recruit others. He calls others to join in this movement with him. And so he goes to a handful of fishermen. He doesn't go to the seminary. He doesn't go to the government agencies. He doesn't go to institutions of higher learning. He's just wandering around, goes, finds a couple of dirty, stinky fishermen. And he calls them. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like, I've got to be something. I've got to be learned. I've got to have all this great stuff. But Jesus did not feel that way. Jesus didn't go find the people who were powerful, the people who were wealthy, the people who were super intelligent. Jesus went and found a couple of dirty, stinky fishermen, and he didn't even give them time to get washed up. He didn't say, go home, clean up, come back, we're going to have a meeting. He said, follow me. And they responded in two ways. They responded quickly, and they responded completely. And that should be a pattern for us. They responded quickly, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Now, Mark is known for writing things in a brief manner, but I believe there's a reason for that, because this is what happened. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. It doesn't say, and they brought their nets back in and folded them up, and said their goodbyes. It says immediately they left their nets and followed him. They responded quickly. There should be no delay in our going out on mission. You don't need to be anything special to be on mission for God. Right? You've already been through your basic training. Your basic training was repent and believe. And when you do that, God sends his Spirit to dwell inside of you, and that's all you need to get started. That's all you need to go out there. Now, is it good to be discipled and to grow in your faith and to learn and practice and train? Yes. And we as a church desire to do that. We desire to equip you more and more. But you have been equipped with enough to go out there already. So respond quickly, just like the disciples did. And also, we need to respond completely. Right? Verse 19. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. They responded completely. They left their father in the boat. They left all the servants in the boat. They left all their stuff. They just cut and ran. They said, this is something I got to do. He said, follow me. And you know, I mean, he didn't have this great big following. There weren't just thousands of people already there. There were two people and a message, repent and believe in the gospel. But they turned and left everything. Right? Jesus says elsewhere, you've got to leave father and mother, brother and sister, to follow me. Bear your cross daily. All these things, you've got to follow him completely. We can't have reservations about following Christ and following through on this mission. We can't hold anything back. We can't be afraid to risk things for the kingdom. It's scary. It's scary. It's scary, you know, but we can't be afraid to risk things. Can't be afraid to risk health. We can't be afraid to risk time. We can't be afraid to risk money, because we know it's not a risk. We know that when we're in the kingdom of God, we are under his reign and under his power and under his control and under his care. And so what feels like a risk to us isn't really a risk. But we cling and we hold on. We shy away because of discomfort or inconvenience. Right? Those are words that you just need to wipe away from your vocabulary. Discomfort and inconvenience. Because they're just a reality of following on mission for Christ. Right? If you've ever watched those war movies, if you've ever seen people who are training to be in battle, if you've ever been there yourself, you know it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. right? Just injuries, sand mites crawling all over your body, biting you. You know, it's not fun. It's not the thing that you just desire to do. It's not a vacation. And it's not a vacation for us either. There are times where we just look at each other, me and my wife, and we're just like, ugh. You know, this is what we signed up for. You know, we know that this is what's there. But this is what you signed up for. It's what you signed up for the moment you repented and believed. Because you were called. You were not called to be on the sidelines. You were given gifts and talents to use. You weren't given those to just let them sit and be wasted. You were given them to perform as part of a body, to be out there on mission, to be making a difference. You were called to join with a body, to become part of a local church. For a lot of you, that's here. Some of you who are with us visiting, we'd love for that to be you as well, to join with us here. And then you're part of this army, part of this team, part of this militia that's going out with our message. Repent and believe. And I know I've been using a lot of militaristic vocabulary today just because it goes with that illustration I started with. But we go out, and we don't go out to beat people with the Bible and beat them with their sins. We go out in the way that we were called to go out, and the way that Jesus went out, which is with love. Because we know where we came from. We know what state we were in when we were called. We've used this word a lot recently, mercy. That's what we were shown, and that's what we have to show others. And so when we go out, we want to go out with our arms open, with our hearts full of mercy and compassion. Not because we feel sorry for people, because we know that that's what we needed, and that's what we've been shown. And it's upon us to show that to others. You know, we're strategizing, we're looking at all these different ways we can serve the community and be here. I'm talking about doing a food pantry. We did that the food distribution over Christmas. We've run all kinds of ideas out there because we just want to be able to be here and fight the fight well. To go out into battle and do what we need to be doing to reach people, to proclaim this message, to fulfill the mission, the task that's been given to us here. And we've got to work together to do that. All of us. You know, this isn't just me and Dave up here, the generals leading us on into battle. We've all got to be a part of that team. We've all got to be serving from top to the bottom. I mean, that's the pattern that we've been given. If you look further in Mark 10:45, it says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that's the call that's been extended to all of us. That's the charge we have. That's what we need to respond to quickly and completely, and join arms and go out and know what our mission is. We've got the gospel. Repent and believe. Jesus came, lived this life, died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. If you're saved today, you know that. You've internalized that. You've received that. The Spirit has come and woken up your heart and brought you to God. And now you're equipped to go out and continue that ministry, to be on mission with us. And if you don't know that yet, that's what I want you to hear today. I want you to hear that middle portion, that promise that was given to us. Repent and believe. And it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy. It's not easy to turn from the things that you're doing, but it's what you're called to do. You're called to forsake all things, just like Christ did. You know, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. Why? For our sake. And so we're called to give up all these God substitutes we have, to give up all these things that we're trying to fulfill our lives with, which we know will never satisfy us, and to trust that by coming into God's kingdom, by repenting and believing that Christ is who he says he is and has done what he says he's done, that we will be fulfilled. That's the message today. That's the message we have. That's all we have. No sly tricks, no fancy gimmicks, no get-rich-quick schemes. Repent and believe, and that's all we need. That's all we've ever needed. That's all we will ever need. And so hear that today. Repent, believe, trust the message, and then if you have, be on mission. be ready to go. We are Thompson Road Baptist Church. We're here in this community. This is our mission field. This is where we need to be serving day in, day out, till the Lord calls us home. Pray with me.